Okay, I want to start the introduction to the malachos today. So since we all have this nice, shiny look, I want to call this red, but that's definitely not the right color. Burgundy? Burgundy? Is that called burgundy? Okay, whatever. Type of a sefer. And we have it, we should use it. So if you turn to... it's Ein Gimel Amud Aleph called Pticha L'Malachot Shabbat. So he's going to give us a brief outline. If you want to take a look, here, take this one if you want to borrow it. And I figured it's a good framework. It'll also give us some, for those of you that are perhaps are less familiar with a little bit of terminology, which is helpful. We're not going to spend too much time on it, but it is a little bit helpful just clarifying certain things. So he says we know that the Torah tells us, Lo taseh kol melacha, and it has nothing to do with, of course, the tircha of a person. Right? It has nothing to do with effort, necessarily. Meaning, a malacha could be aser and require minimal effort, and a tircha could be, and an action could require tremendous effort and be permissible. I mean, the obvious answer is, you could walk for an hour uphill, and that could be difficult. You could, right? Whereas, you're not going to be doing a malacha. I mean, that could be a malacha, but not necessarily a malacha, right? You know, and definitely from the Raisa perspective, you could, you know, rearrange your whole house and schlep and move. And from the Raisa perspective, you did nothing wrong. We either upon what you did was a muksa or not appropriate to do on Shabbos. But from a Raisa perspective, you didn't violate anything. Whereas if you just, you know, walk outside your house from Rosh Hashanah Rabbim holding a sitter, holding a, from the example he gives here with is a needle, right? Or something super duper tiny, which you don't even has no weight to it. Nonetheless, you violate a deraisa. So again, we know that has nothing to do with effort necessarily. And the other thing, of course, is that because the psukim are found in the context of the Mishkan, that it is all about the building of the Mishkan itself that forms the foundation for what is aser. Now there is a machlokes rishonim. Definitely brought down by Rav Haigon, and we'll see this source inside, and that is what's the source for the Malachos of the Mishkan. This comes up with the first example. Good morning. This comes up in the first example of Sidur Depas. Yeah. That the first number of Malachos, the first 10.
Is it pas or is it die?
Is it pas or is it die? Meaning, is it making the bread, which is the lechem panim, or is it making the die, which is the samamanim, the die that was used to then dye the various items in the Mishkan? And you're like, why does it matter? So, it doesn't really matter. There's a few nafkaminas, but definitely one major issue is that lechem panim is not part of building the Mishkan. It's, so to speak, korbanos. It's an auxiliary. It's like, you know, once it's made, once the Mishkan is working and operational, this is what you do there. So it's not necessarily the construction of the Mishkan.
Right. It's either the function or only the construction.
Right. So. Yeah. Now, we'll see a Rashi in a minute where Rashi says clearly what it's all about. If you... I think Rashi. Rashi says on
the oath he talks about it. It's not,
exactly.
It's not actually bread.
If you take a look, look at Ein Gimel. I don't know where this is, but you can look. Ein Gimel Amud Aleph under the words Ha'ofa. Yeah, very good.
Right beside the Mishnah.
He says, "Lo havi b'mishkan," meaning we see here that the if you take a look, it's avos malachos. One of them is ofel, which is baking.
So
right away, Rashi says, "Lo havi b'mishkan." What are you talking about? There's no baking. We don't have baking. Shaloshach ela b'pat. This is only what deals with bread, right? The definition of baking is bread related. Upat lo shach l'malach b'mishkan. There's no construction of Mishkan. This is all about making the samanim, the dyes. So then, so then why is it that the Tana, why is it the order, and I use the terminology intentionally, Sidur Dapat, why is it that the order that we have here is baking bread? I understand. If it's bread, what, you know, why are you confusing the two? Bread is bread, dyes are dyes. Why is it that, again, Shita Rashi is, which is Rav Rishonim, is that it's all about the dyes, because that's part of the construction of the Mishkan.
Wasn't there bread in the Mishkan?
Was it bread? So again, but that's, again, there was bread in the Mishkan, but that's not the creating of the Mishkan. That's once you have a Mishkan, you then function. And what are the functions? That's not part of the construction. Right? Because, by the way, this is very important, because it's not about the korbanot either. Korbanot are not the construction of Mishkan, it's the function of Mishkan. Right? So it's not about korbanot, it's about what is needed to create, to build the actual Mishkan itself. Not the same thing as what we need to function, have done in the Mishkan, or do in the Mishkan.
It's a little weird according to Hagiolim, because the Mishkan functions on Shabbos. You can't build it on Shabbos, but it functions on Shabbos, right? So it's weird that you would learn out the from the functioning of the Mishkan.
So we know that you're not allowed to... you could bring a korban on Shabbos, right? It's a pasuk in the Chumash, right? In a few places, it's a pasuk in the Torah, you know, bring a korban. And in order to bring a korban on Shabbos, well, the animal gets shechted, no? And that's deraisa, but we know you're allowed to do it. So it would be... what Jay is saying is that the shechting of an animal to learn from korbanos, well, why would I do that to then learn what's usher to do when it's vak mutter to do?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it's weird.
Whereas it's... if you're going to use an example of something which you're not allowed to do on Shabbos, use something that you're not allowed to do on Shabbos. So bringing a korban of shechita is that you are allowed to do it. Why are you learning something you're not allowed to do from Shabbos? Right, that's just what you're asking,
right?
Yeah, it's
like right? It's
counterintuitive. Exactly. Rav Haigon, the Egli Tal brings it down too. But it does seem that's why it's much easier to understand. Rashi seems to be very clear. Rashi Shita is quite clear that it's all about the process. So again, but we still have a question. Why is it that we have the bread baking process, if in fact it's about dyes. Okay, why? The nakara ofa, but instead the Tana decided to choose the bread breaking process, v'shurin shol elu kigo geres, and the shear of an ofa chutz mech. Well, I don't even want to deal with this now. So the question is then, why is it that the Tana chose the order of bread when it's all about dyes? So Rashi does not deal with that here, but it's a question that we still need to deal with, right? And the rationale that's given, I actually think it's quoted here somewhere. If it's not in this footnote, I'll just tell you what's said. Okay, I don't know. I don't think it's in this footnote. Unless I just read it too quickly. So it's actually said very simple. Do you know why? Because it's way more common. Just that everyone knows Sidur Dapas. Come on. We make bread every day. In those days, that's what you did. So I'm rather, you know, there's something that's practical nature. Remember, this is done to our Shabbat Pa, off by heart. So if it's done off by heart, it makes more sense. I'm going to remember something. So I'm much more familiar with the bread baking process. So the Tana, even though the Mishkan, the bread was an auxiliary function of the creating Mishkan, and it was only used as the function of the Mishkan, nonetheless, because bread making is something which is so much more common and done so much regularly, the Tana chose to list that order, since after all, it resembles the dye, maybe not in the exact same order, but because it resembles the process, and those actions are still forbidden, we're going to use Sidur Dapas, which is a little counterintuitive, you know, like, okay, but that's not what they did. But nonetheless, that's what they felt. And the reason why you have to say that, because the Gemara says in many different places that it seems related to the process of building the Mishkan. There's many references, the Midrashim and the Gemaras across Shas, that it's about the construction of the Mishkan. And the famous Medrash that we're all familiar with is, blow the whistle, no melacha allowed. Don't build mishkan Shabbos, right? That's the famous thing that we know, right? The Medrash, right? Okay, not really blowing a whistle, right? But right, that's a connection between the two of them. We know there's midrashim and there's gemaras that deal with it. And to say otherwise, you'd be like, well, I don't, you know, it's bichidish to say that it's mamash lachem upon him. Perhaps one of the reasons behind why the Rav Haigon says that it is also about the function of Mishkan is simply because he's so bothered by this notion of why are you doing Siddur in the past? Why are you doing this in the past? It seems to be so counterintuitive. So, okay, just wanted to point that out. So if you take a look at yeah, okay, so that's in terms of the first stage. Now, the difference between an av, we touched on this before, between an av and a tolada, is an av is the way it was done in the Mishkan, and a tolada is still usher, but not daraisa, but not the same way it was done in the Mishkan. So, for example, the Ar Gemara, not here, if you want right away, or very soon anyways, that the first malacha that's listed is Zoreya. The Gemara, if you flip the page, says, well, not just Zoreya, what about Zomir and Noteah and Mavrech? So let's use ones that we're familiar with. So Zoreya literally means to put a seed into the ground, right? We are
sowing
is the word to use. But not just sowing, also Zoreya, also planting would be a problem. Also Mavrech, which Mavrech is generally understood to be grafting. Right? And that's the English word that's used. So those things, at the end of the day, those things are also going to be an Isser de Oraisa. So what's it between an Av and a Tolada? So they're both de Oraisa. You need Hasra. You need to be warned properly is what you're doing to get Misa. And the difference is, as we saw from our opening Mishnah, if you violate an Av and a Tolada, then you have for one of them. Meaning, if you don't know that they're Asr, and you violate the Av and Tolada, you bring just one korban. Right? Now, if you know it's Asr, then you can bring more than one korban. But if you don't know it's Asr, you can only bring one korban. So, that's the nafkum between an Av and a Tolada. The but if you don't get warned, by the way, if you don't get warned, if there's no hasra on a malacha, what do you chayav with no hasra?
From
mezid
or?
From mezid. Without hasra.
Kares?
You still have kares, right? That's important to point out. And if it's shogeg, of course, it's still, that's the chatas. So, and by the way, the other nafkin would be if you do a malacha, Helamachas. So you do one action and you do both the Av and the Tolada, then in that case you only chayav for one. If you did it b'mezid, b'shogeg, it's not two melachos, you don't bring two korbanos. I mean, not that if you know that it's also to do and you do it anyways, but you did it b'shogeg, if you do it b'helamachas, yeah, if you do b'helamachas, and in one action, you're chayav for two things, you'd only would bring one korban. Right. If you had a yedia in between the two, then you would have to bring two korbanos. If you do behelamachas, both the av and the tolada, you only bring one korban. That would be the nafkamina between an av and a tolada. Now, one of the concepts that we're going to see a great deal is that it's going to need to be melachas machshavas asra Torah. That's going, you have to have intent. So if you want to do A and you end up doing B, it could be that you're going to be exempt. This is we'll deal with this later. This is a major issue. Let's say if you have kavana to throw it two amos and it's going four amos, right? Are you chayv or not? This will be we'll deal with that at some point. Time to get the hotzah, whatever that'll be. And truth is, the majority of Masechta is actually doing with Otsa, believe it or not. The Melachos that we deal with daily are like a drop in the bucket compared to how much the Gemaras do with Otsa. But, you know, Tantos had an error for a long time, so like everyone assumes that, you know, doesn't matter anymore, Otsa. But really, the Gemara deals are very, 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 because it's just so complicated. And clearly, the Gemara even says that many people were lackadaisical about Ratzah because, you know, think about it. There's no, you know, if you cook an egg, you see a difference in an egg. If you carry an orange, there's no change to the actual, there's no shina in Gufa Chefetz. So you don't know that, well, why is this orange usher? You know, just because I brought it from a public to a private domain. You'd never think that by looking at it. Whereas everything else, you can kind of visually see that there's been some type of transformation. The other thing which is important is it has to be what's called kadarka. This has to be the usual way of doing malacha. If you do a malacha not in the usual way, you're exempt. Again, we'll talk about this extensively. The classic case that everyone is somewhat familiar with, I'm sure, is writing with your left hand. Assuming that the quality of the writing would be diminished, it would be machlokes, and what if the quality is not diminished? What about if the final, is it final result related or is it process related? That's right. Am I righty? But let's say my left hand is able to.
That would be a big issue. Light switch is not going to change.
Right, exactly.
No matter how you hit the light switch, right. The light's going to be the same.
So let's assume light switch is Doraisa, which is not, but I mean, it could. Let's pretend it is, then right. There'd be no difference in turning a light on with your left hand to right hand because. Right. Oh, with your nose, potentially it could be different. With your head, maybe it could be different. But with your hand, that for sure. So not always is change in handedness necessarily considered. Kadarka, lo kadarka. As we'll see. And of course, we actually have to want the item itself. And this will come up by Choresh, which we'll deal with probably next week. And that is, if a person digs a ditch and you don't really want the ditch, but you want the dirt, that's the classic example of melacha she'ena tzricha legufa. They don't really want the action that I'm doing, right? I don't want my ditch. I want kind of the results from it, and that's the dirt itself. Okay, and obviously it has to have longevity to it. It has to have a minimum shear. It has to have time type of quantity to it. And it has to actually exist. It can't be something which is fleeting. That it happens and then it disappears. That will not be a deraisa. Okay, those are the indirect. What was that?
Don't usually say pachal mikashir is deraisa.
We hold that pachal mikashir is deraisa.
Right, but there's no.
But there's no. There's no korban. You don't
right,
bring
yeah,
a. Exactly.
But still. Are you still a little coming from
the right? Yeah, no, so the right stuff for sure it is, for
it's
sure.
It's not finished, but also I'm very big.
You'd be putter to bring a korban home, right?
Right.
If you don't bring a korban on a shogeg, it's bachos from Shir.
Yeah.
So. Okay. But those are kind of like the outline that basically he says here in his introduction. Okay, so what I want to do is I want to begin with, there are two malachos that are listed first. So let's read together the list of Siddur the Pas. Let's start with that. So take a look. So the Mishnah says, Avos malachos arbaim chaser echad. So first of all, this is also very strange language, right? Why would the Mishnah say 39? So why doesn't it just say 39? Why does it say 40 minus 1? It's a very odd way to begin. Does anyone know another example of where we see this language?
Makos.
In Makos. Now, the Torah says, Arbim Yakenu Velo Yosef. But the Gemara in Makos, it lists it as 40, but don't add to it. And from here, the Mishnah learns, Mishnah says 39, and doesn't say, we don't say that a person is high of 40 malchus, but only 39. But the terminology is arba'im chaser achad. So it could be that in Achinami, we had had another 39 malchus on Shabbos. Where does that come from? Lamatas malchus or Torah Shabbat. Halacha Moshe Mizinah. There's no way to derive directly. I don't know if I don't know Chumash and I try to find 39 malchus, I'd have a very difficult time finding it. In the text of Torah itself. You know, Mekosher Sheitzim, I don't know what that means. What is Mekosher Sheitzim? Not so clear what that person did that was wrong. And then I know there's Havara, that's Asur. Lo Yitzi Ish, Bidecha Beisho, there's a few Hotzahs.
That's only 39.
Right, but again, you know, you're not going to get close to 40, right?
Yeah.
That's written in the Torah. So it's, you know, you're lucky to get kind of, you know, two or three that are directly written.
in the Chumash itself, the other ones you're getting a lachem which you're missing it for. So that was the, that's its basis. And then I think once the, so since we already have this notion of 39 for Makos, it appears they want to keep that type of language similar. Also 40 minus 1 by Shabbos. I don't know another.
Wait, but the, what, I'm sorry, once again, what's the reason why it's in Makos?
So the Makos is, the Torah says, Arbim Yakenu V'lo Yosef. Therefore, we only give the person 39 Makos, not 40, because you can't go over, so they've moved it to 39. And it appears once we have this concept of 40 minus 1, that we list this, once we have the concept of 39 that we list in the Mishnah as 40 minus 1, we stick that same language by Shabbos as
but
well.
But is there also like a deeper reason why we want to have like parallel language? Like you think about the punishment or like you're scared about Makos. Is there like...
But Makos...
Are we trying to create some sort of like paralipsis or alliteration kind of device? It's like a writing style device.
Yeah, I think they do. I do think they try to keep the language the same. Again, 40 minus 1, for every reason, is easier to remember than 39.
Mm-hmm. Really? It's supposed to be a memory thing?
Like some languages, that's kind of what you say. I feel like that sometimes numbers you do weird things with. Like, you remember.
But when you ask kids, like kids are never like the 40 minus 1 in the last.
Because things
are 39.
Say 40 minus 1. Maybe in other languages, keep playing more.
Yeah. I wasn't taught 40 minus 1. I was younger.
Yeah, kids always know.
I think the book is called 39 Malachas book, no?
Yeah.
It's not called
the
40 minus 1 Malachas book.
Yeah, that's an awesome kid's book.
Mm-hmm. Is that a Raya? Not that.
Yeah, but you're saying they're just trying to have like parallel language to Makos for whatever reason.
I mean...
Because it still kind of begs the question, okay?
If you,
so
take, if you
Makos,
look,
why
I'll tell you what...
Better?
He says here, Tana Omer Lashon Rabim Chazal Havlosh, Mipnei She Nimshach Achar Lashon HaMishnah B'Makos. Hashem ata mishum shekasuv in dvarim arbim yakan v'chachamim kiblu she'ein aloke elos medisha Tosfos Yom Tov Reisham. He says there's other reasons that the Tosfos Yom Tov brings. That's quoted in the Mishnah Berurah.
What's she'ein aloka? What's loka?
They don't get Malkus for it. For Malkus, right? You don't get 40. You don't get 39.
Oh,
elos
medisha.
But he seems to be the main reason bringing this from Malkus, which is crazy, eh? Because that's not that intuitive.
Yeah, you can't even. It's not even like, oh, you want to create some sort of like Pavlovian association between the two, because like it's not even that these Makos get you. It's not
I
even
mean,
like doing these Malkos get you Makos. Like, they get you death. Like,
right. No, 100%. Even though it's alive, it's right. It's not. You don't write on Yom Tov, you get Malkos, right? But not on
Shabbos. Shabbos. So either way. Yeah.
Okay, I know it's not the. Anyways, but let's go through the list of what's called Sidur de Pas. It's Zoreya. So again, let's do a quick dictionary definition here. So Zoreya means
dealing with plants, increasing plant.
Right, sowing. As in placing the ground. Right, Choresh is
plowing.
Kotzer.
Harvesting or?
Harvesting is threshing, that's what it's used.
Threshing.
Amir?
Threshing is separating the things, no?
Oh, oh, this? Okay, that's not kosher?
That's not something else.
Oh.
Reaping?
Reaping, that's it. Ma'amir? What's ma'amir?
Bundling or.
Right,
reaping.
Bundling or gathering. Yeah. Right, ma'amir? That you're gathering the bundles from the ground and making stacks out of them. Dash.
I think Dash is threshing.
Separating the... Right. Zore, within hay, don't get confused between Zorea and Zore. Zore is they would take the tfua, they would take the kernels in the air, and would be separated using the medium of wind.
Is that like sifting?
Winnowing
is the English term. Winnowing. Using wind to separate for you.
Oh, winnowing. Okay, so you're using wind. Okay.
Yeah, winnowing from the word wind.
Yeah.
I think that's where it comes from.
Did you ever go to the matzah factory as a kid? So don't they do that, like in the matzah factory?
Do they?
Don't they?
I don't know. Borer, however, is not you're separating, but you're not separating with the medium of the wind, but rather with a cleat. It's also called separating. Now, tochen is
grinding.
These are easier. Now, merakid, not dancing. Not merakti in front of a kala for merakid. I don't know, maybe that's the way it looks. Maybe that's what it looks like when you sift the when you sift the flour. So again, so these are all like sifting related, all separating, right? So zebra, which is wind, bora, which is separating, tochen, grinding, merakid, again, you're separating using a kli. Lash, it's another easier one because it's modern Hebrew. What's is kneading or kneading, you know, the K is silent, right? Is kneading. And then ofe, that's again, it's modern Hebrew, so it's a bit easier, and that's translated as baking. So those are the what's called Sidur the Pas, and there are 11 of them, I believe. Yeah. Then, by the next stage is 13 that deal with clothing. So you have baking, cooking, right? Baking, cooking, food. Then you also have clothing, which are your next 13. And then you have deals with tanning, like deals with leather, and then writing. And the writing is maybe it deals with the poles of the Mishkan, and it's dealing with connected to also the construction of the. Of the skins for the Mishkan, and then you have ones that are related to fire, and then you have one related to finishing your malacha. Then of course you have hotzah from one domain to another, and those are your 39. And again, what's fascinating about them is in many ways it makes, you know, it's kind of like what we do in the modern era, right? It's about clothing, it's about cooking, it's about baking, right? That makes us human. So what makes humans human? Versus being an animal. Animals don't cook, animals don't bake, animals don't wear clothing. You know, those are all very human types of actions. You know, leather tanning, all those ideas, fire, finishing items, you know, making, creating, you know, makabapatis, right? Finishing the vessels or kelim, those are all very much human acts, right? Kind of what makes a human, what makes a society function as a society, really based on these malachos, right? And that's clear. That's the purpose. We do it during the week, and if we're afraid from doing it on Shabbos, it kind of makes us who we are and what we are as human beings. Again, in the modern era, perhaps less so, when we deal with much more about, you know, the digital world. No one's planting anymore. Well, I'm going to say nobody.
Small fraction.
What?
It's like 2-3%.
Right. We're no longer an agricultural-based society.
Microbreweries are getting big.
Yes, oh yes. But, you know, so I think that has a major impact in terms of what we're used to in life, but nonetheless, and even clothing, like, who makes clothing today? Again, there are a few exceptions. But you buy clothing, it gets ruined, who fixes it? You throw in the garbage, right? No one, if there's a tear into your shirt, we live in affluent society, you throw in the garbage, right? Right? Very few people will fix their clothing. So, anyways, okay, but what are you going to do? That's not the world that we used to live in. So, okay, let's start. So, I want to actually point out something. The Gemara already points out. We'll start with that. As the first two malachos, if you had to come up with a list of the order, what is first? Is it Choresh? Again, what's Choresh defined as? Plowing, and Zorea, which is sowing, right? Or planting, sowing. So what comes first if you're a farmer? Choresh. So everyone asks the question, the Gemara asks the question, I understand. If it's the order of how you do things, so then Choresh should have preceded Zorea. Right? Why Zorea first? You don't just throw a seed in the ground. Throwing a seed in the ground is not smart. Because why'd you have to choresh first? Why have to plow first? Because
get the soil ready.
The soil's ready. Mm-hmm. You throw a seed on and it just sits on top of a field, or if the topsoil is not very good, it's not necessarily going to take. So the function of threshing is that you're turning the ground over to make it plantable, to make it softer, to make it that you're going to take the seed, it'll the nutrient, right? You want, that's what you do. So that's stage one in Mr. Farmer, right? You get your soil ready, and then you throw the seed in. To the opposite is just silly. It makes no practical sense. So take a look at the Gemara, and we'll start with this. The Gemara right after the list. Take a look. So Minyan Alamali. Oh, I guess. Well, it's really two lines later, but we'll start. It's fine. Why is it the Gemara asks? Why do we need to know the number of malachos? Right? Like, who cares? Like, we'll just deal with them when we deal with them. Like, why is the number relevant at all? So Marv Yochanan, I'll tell you why. Why does it matter the number? It's very simple. She'im asa'an kula behela machad. Right? Let's say what happened. The guy didn't know all the lechavos. And he does them all in one shot. And he didn't have no idea. No one told him in between them at all that he sinned. He'd be chayav for every single malacha. Yes, what has to be... Okay, so this actually is a little complicated. What? Well, yeah, exactly, right. He's going to need to know that malachos, kind of the concept of malachos exists. Maybe he thinks it's just a lav. Maybe he doesn't think it's misa. Maybe he thinks it's like a tchumin. There's a whole thing with tchumin here. I don't want to deal with it because it's kind of really a topic. Okay, this is what I want to do.
He still forgets that. He knows that Shabbos, he forgets that the malachos exist.
Yeah, well, you see... I know I get myself into trouble by starting with these two lines. What makes it very complicated is that how is this even possible? Because if he forgets that it's Shabbos, it's one. So what, he knows that malachos exist, but then if it doesn't, it's Hagi B'chefer 39. He has to know there's one, no?
Mm-hmm. Didn't he say that he'd be bedavid doesn't remember that the actions that he's doing constitute those malachas? He even know that these are like malachas that exist?
Right. So, so
he know that making right. eggs constitutes...
Bishop, right. Yeah. So he know, or maybe he thinks that, you know, Zoraya is just Mavrich. He doesn't realize that it also includes... Right. It also includes... watering or something, right. So that could be possible, but the commentaries say, I'll give you another example that's even easier, is that I don't know if this is easier, I think that Tchumin is Doraisa.
Yeah, two more
sentences. What? The Tchumin is Doraisa, and since Tchumin is Doraisa, you're only chayav, believe it or not, a love for it. So I think that every other Isser in the Torah is also just a love.
Yeah, I'm telling just that he knows that Shabbos is a thing.
Like, it's a thing.
He knows the other day it's my Shabbos.
But, oh, and I know that, and I don't think it's Misa. I just think it's like here's an example of a Doraisa, because I have to be aware of a Doraisa Malacha. And what's my Doraisa Malacha I'm aware of? Tchumin. But Tchumin is Doraisa... yeah, and that's what I know. And therefore, I know that it's Shabbos, I'm aware of malachos, I'm aware of the concept of things that are asur to do, but I don't realize that these are the 39 that are forbidden. And tchumin is not hotzah. That's a chab too, right? Two different things, not the same thing. So therefore, in theory, we can yell them with 39 things on the same Shabbos. And so Gemara later says that, yeah? More later? So, okay, but anyways, it's not... let's take a look at the... So again, the Gemara says, why is it the order seems to be reversed? Mikte michrav karvi beresha. I don't understand. What does every single farmer do? Harisha is always done first. Lisne choresh. Vahadar lisne zoreya. The list of this Mishnayos should have been choresh first. And then, after your choresh, after you... plow you sow. You only put seeds in the ground once the ground is ready. It'd be a complete, utter waste of time doing it. I can say a complete waste of time, but it's not what's commonly done. The way is, you get your ground ready and prepared, and then you throw the seeds in. Answer, Tana be'eretz Yisrael kai. Again, I'm not familiar enough with the difference of agricultural differences between the land of Israel and, I guess, Bavel. So I'm going to accept this at, for the Gemara says, and that is, no, I'll tell you what. This is the order of the land of Israel. And what do they do in Israel? Zari Beresha,
the first, excuse me,
fill their seeds in the ground, v'had their carving. And then they, only afterwards, do they then till the soil. Meaning that the ground is so tough that you want to, I guess, maximize your sowing. So by placing the seeds and then turning over the field, you'll ensure that the seeds will get penetrated into the depths of the ground that you want them to do. So it's kind of like you throw them on top in a surface level. That's your Zoreah. And then you do Choresh, and then you take them and you, like, shove them in, right? You, like it's not enough just to, I guess, if you turn the ground up, then you put them in, they're in, but they're not. But here, they're at the top, and then you, like, grind them in, because the land of Israel, you have to really, I guess, because it's drier and there's a lack of rain, it's tougher. The topsoil is so tough that by turning the ground over and then throwing the seed in, it still might not get deep enough. So you want to kind of put them at the top and then, like, mesh them in, grind them into the ground to make it more successful. Okay, I don't know. I can't comment on that, but that's what the Gemara says. Okay, so with that, I want to just spend a few minutes, and we're not gonna finish at all. I want to go through this malacha, since it should be, quote-unquote, the first malacha. Let's do with that one first. Let's do with Choresh. Okay? So if you go to down, I don't know, 8 lines or so, where at the beginning of the line says the word Vachoresh. Do you think it makes a, I forgot, let's read it anyway. Tana Choresh. So again, how would you do really do Choresh? What would you do?
Yeah, you put a plow on it and say go.
Right. And that's what, you know, usually it's not done with like a shovel, right, or a fork. It's not very practical.
I think they have like a hose or
they did have it. Right. They did have
a tree garden patch.
Right, they would do. But generally speaking, but they would have a and these are, by the way, these are actually very expensive. The plow that would sit in the back of a cow had like spikes on the end of it, so like the cow would take it and schlep it, and the spikes would come and till the ground, right?
Yeah.
That's, I think, the image that people use, right? In the olden, like these pioneers, you know, right? So the guy, the farmer sits on the cow, or drives the cow, you know, and then the cow kind of schleps this. The Hebrew word is machresha, which does choresh. Machresha is the item that does choresh, choresh machine, or choresh, can't call it. Is it called a machine? No, I think to have a machine doesn't need to have like a, I don't know, whatever. So it takes it, it tills, right, with these, like that. So the other word that's used is the word chofer. Chofer does the same thing, but not with a plow, with a shovel. So if you take a shovel and you dig it into the ground and you till the ground that way, that's also a, now, would that be an av or a tolada? The answer is, it's a to, what? What?
I don't know.
So the, it seems to imply here this would be considered a tolada, right? It's not the exact same way it was done, right? Right? It's just, it's deraisa. It's not the exact same way, perhaps, that it was done. The most common way isn't to do it that way because it's not very economical, right? So again, that's also, it's called, there's a different English word for it. English word, there's a different Hebrew, well, a different English word too, different Hebrew word. There's plow. This is called plowing. That's the av malacha. But if I just take a shovel and till the ground, that's called tilling. Or in Hebrew, that's called chofering. That would still be asur to do, but that would be a talada. Right? And Choresh, that's using, again, another type of kli to till the ground. All these are malacha achas. These are all considered different types of malachos. Now, if you needed a dictionary definition of what is Choresh, what's Choresh? give me a definition of what are you doing when you're either taking a plow or taking a shovel or taking a hoe. What are you doing?
You want a description of the action or of the outcome?
What's the... Well, what are you doing? What's the function of why you're doing it for? I mean, what would be a dictionary definition of what is chores? I said we use the term plowing, but what are you really doing when you're plowing?
You're trying to increase the arability of the land. Like how much it is for
shifting the dirt, by shifting the soil.
Yeah, that's
you're
like
using a tool.
Now, what's your goal?
To make it better for mother.
To make it fertile. To make it susceptible to growth for plants.
Okay, so BJ jumps right away, which I understand why, to this. Just, if I were to till ground, my goal isn't just to do that. My goal is I know what's coming next, and next is the plant. Mm-hmm. So the question is that the definition? Do I have to enhance the ground to make it better for planting? Is that my definition? Well, what about if I just enhance the ground? There's no chance I'd ever plant there. Would that be considered choresh? You hear the difference in them? So if you take a look at Rashi, it's just Mishum Choresh. Ein Gimel Amud Bet, it's Rashi, under the word Bayit, right here, I don't know how to put it. Mishum Choresh. Mishum Choresh are the ends of line about halfway in the skinny lines. You see it, Mishum Choresh? Since this is Yom Gemara, underline it, because it was very important. Look at what Rashi says. Anyone want to read Rashi there? What does Rashi say? What does it mean? Well, I know the word Ara means. What's Ara?
Land.
Land. Okay, very good. The Rifayon, I can see right, is weaken the land. I think it's a fancy, well, not fancy. Weaken land doesn't mean to make your land weak. What does it mean to do? To improve it, to enhance it. You're softening the ground. Right? Rashi seems to imply that what are you doing here? You are helping or fixing or enhancing the land. Mm-hmm. Right? Not necessarily with your intent for step two, called planting. Right? This leads to a major discussion over what exactly is the function of Choresh. So, that... I had these handle sheets. They're under Gemara. Oh, yeah. There you go. All that was an introduction to this, which we'll barely start today. But I kind of expected that. So, we already did one and two. Oh, sorry, we did one. And Rashi says over and over and over again, look at this, Malach Achasein, Enochav Ela Achas, De Kulu, Le Rifui Ara Avdei. He repeats it over and over and over again. He says, if you do plowing and you do thresh, one malacha. One malacha. And again, refui ara. In both cases, it's all about focusing on enhancing the land. Okay? And look at source 3, Rabbeinu Chananel. Rabbeinu Chananel says, Kol davar shehu le henat karka. What does that mean? Hanat karka. Hanat karka means you are
benefiting
the land. Chayav mishum choresh. Rabbi Chaya says, you know my source is the Jerusalem Talmud. Now, what I want to show you is the Rambam. Look at the Rambam. The Rambam says, a choresh koshu chayav. Now we know this. We're not going to deal with this now. I'll throw it out there. Do you think there should be a minimum for choresh? We know that when it comes to, let's use the example that we're familiar with, because that's quite famous, is kotev. So what's the minimum share of kotev?
separate letters.
Right. So you do two, everyone knows this, two separate letters, right? Again, is there a situation where you can be chayav for one? Yeah, maybe. Okay, but you need two separate letters. Okay, why that is, we're not doing the kotev now, but we'll get there eventually. Carrying is the same thing. Every item that you carry, there is a minimum shear. It has to have a shear that's actually usable, meaning the ink that you carry has to have enough ink that that ink actually could actually write something, right? Oil. The Mishnah actually lists various types of, oh, if you're going to carry this, oh, that's too small of a shear. That's not significant enough for that item, right? There's a, it's not like you carry kosher, it's not like you carry any, you know, anything you're chayev. The item has to be of significance. What's it based on? Well, it depends. You know, if it's a food item, if it's a seed, you know, it has to be something that is considered a full item that people actually, it makes it usable or doable, whatever the case may be. So the question is going to be, how much you have to till? How much you have to plow? So based on Rashi's definition of enhancing the land, what would you say the minimum should be?
I benefit. You can't just like do.
Or do you want to tell me that anything that you do to the land to enhance? Hey, aren't you benefiting the land?
Rashi is softening.
Rashi is softening the land. Refayon, what is it? Refui ara. How much time do I have left?
4 minutes. Okay, can you just like stop and say that? Anything that you're doing is working towards that, even if you have like some sort of clear threshold, like this is what's considered quote unquote benefiting or significant. Okay, but you, can you then just kind of make the argument that, well, anything that you're doing is getting to that level of significance?
But if I'm not at that level of significance, let's just, I like using.
What?
What was that? Let's use. Curing as a real example, because it's very concrete. Let's say that in order to violate curing, I actually need to have an amount of oil. Actually, the Gemara talks is you give to a baby, put in the baby's ear or something, right? So less than that, insignificant. No one would carry such a little amount of oil that's not the full-flown carrying biblical prohibition. Okay, I don't want to do the Chatzis Shiur for now at all. So should there be a minimum amount for choresh, for choreshing, for choreshing? Right? Well, enhancing, if it's Rashi, and it's about enhancing the land, isn't anything I do enhance
Rashi
land?
Softening
I soften the land?
Also, because it seems somewhat subjective, and we can't really make a universal threshold, so then wouldn't we just err on the side of caution?
Enhancing is like you can do whatever you want. It's
enhancing.
Right.
Okay,
so Jay says, well, if it's refui, if it's just enhancing the land, soften the land, then perhaps it is a minimum amount, right?
It has to be like significantly
noticeably softer. Right. Rubino Chananel seems to say, maybe you could say that really Rashi and really Chananel are very different. Rashi just talks about softening the land, but a chananel is any enhancement to the land. Any enhancement to the land.
Is soften?
Refui is soften, yeah.
Okay.
Like Rifayon, like.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, no. It's a different word, right. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it does appear, you could argue, and there are those who actually want to say, no, there's a big difference between them. The Rabbeinu Chananel is any amount. Any amount is going to enhance the land. After all, Hanos Karka. For Rashi, you could say, listen, you want to soften the land, it has to be softened. You know, if you do a little bit, it could be if the net result had so little impact, it's not considered soft enough. Okay, there's a Gemara later on. That would be very helpful on Duff. I think it's on Kuv Gimel. I think it's actually quoted somewhere. We'll end with this. Kuf Gimel. I gotta find it. I'm blinded right now. Here it is. The Yafo says a karka. Oh. What was that? Oh, you don't have to. Right, I know that's why. On Daf Kuv Gimel, sorry about that. That's always the downside of buying these. On Daf Kuv Gimel, the Gemara seems to imply that any amount. Kulo lo Yafo says a karka. Karka mis Yafo. That the Gemara seems to imply that any amount of enhancing the land you're going to be high of. It's almost like the Shear's Kosho. So, how exactly we're going to have to defend Rashi? You could argue that Rashi would say, what?
It's
a Chorish
Kosho. It means any amount.
Oh, exactly. It's literally, there's no, you know, the moment the Mishnah says a Chorish Kosho, you're going to be very difficult to say that it's not kosher. So, if that's the case, even, I had to argue as Mishnah. So you have to explain Rashi. By the way, that's why I argue. That's why Chana uses this language of Kol Vashu Lehenos Karka. So,
the more gives it like kind of like a shear. I mean, basically, going like, my chazi, the bizra of the kara. What the forest used before, you have to be able to. It means put in a seed. When
right.
So
that
is sheer. So it's not full sheer.
Okay. So
that. Right.
So you're going to see this is exactly the machlokas. You know, does it has to have the minimum amount of seed in it or not? Right. So is kosher loved after? The mission is kosher. The Gemara seems to say is enough for one seed. What's going on here? Is there a sheer or not a sheer? Okay. We'll have to deal with that a little bit more next week, maybe. And then also I want to deal with expanding the definition and then some modern applications to Chorosh as well. We'll deal with that also next week. Okay, let's stop here. It's already past 11, sorry.